Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Liz Truss has been, if anything, certainly as bad as Johnson on the populism agenda.
She wants people to work hard and she hates people being told what to do.
The markets are looking very, very closely at political pronouncements.
Together, we can ride out the storm. We can rebuild our economy and we can become the modern, brilliant Britain that I know we can be.
You're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics, your daily guide to the corridors of power. I'm Ewan Potts.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Politics resumes today and the to-do list is hefty. We'll look at the economic challenges and policy announcements to come from the government.
Plus, Liz Truss says that a trade deal with the United States isn't on the cards anytime soon. We'll break down the details with our Bloomberg trade czar, Brendan Murray.
Well, after the 10 days of national mourning, the new government starts tackling its bulging in tray from today. Liz Truss is in New York for the UN General Assembly. She's got meetings lined up with the likes of the US President Joe Biden, French President Emmanuel Macron, and the head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. Those meetings could prove tricky, though, for different reasons. Joe Biden has been critical of UK efforts to tear up the Brexit trade deal with the EU for fears of the effects it could have on peace in Northern Ireland. While Liz Truss during the Conservative leadership race said that the jury's out over whether President Emmanuel Macron is a friend or foe. Perhaps clearing that up might take up the first part of that meeting.
Well, here at home, there is a mini budget on the way on Friday, or a fiscal event, as we're inexplicably told to call it now, plus several other policy announcements. There's also the Bank of England on Thursday. We'll get a rate decision, potentially the biggest rate hike in 33 years. And of course, we've been discussing the mountain of issues on Liz Truss's desk when she gets back from that trip to New York. Well, we got the take of Reid Landberg, Bloomberg's UK economy and government editor, and Jamie Rush, our chief European economist. Take a listen.
Well, it's a really interesting week and probably the start of many. You've got a Bank of England rate decision on Thursday where they could push through the biggest interest rate increase in 33 years. And then you've got a fiscal statement on Friday where Liz Truss's government, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, is going to set out his energy plan, how long it lasts, how much more they need to borrow. It's hugely consequential figures that we got a taste of right before the funeral, right before the Queen died, and then it wiped off the news agenda.
And Jamie, one of the things that we expect might be announced in the mini budget on Friday is this lifting of the cap on bankers' bonuses. I wonder whether that would actually add to growth, or is it a really purely political move?
I think it's very political, actually. I mean, it doesn't really, it's unlikely even to change compensation for bankers all that much, because what we saw when they introduced the bankers' bonus cap was they just put it into base salaries, so there was less variable pay. So I think actually that measure is pretty trivial, although it has, of course, like received a lot of attention. As Reid says, the big things, price cap, how much more they're going to borrow, it could be really a lot. 5-6% of GDP has been touted, so that's sort of That's a really large
5 to 6% of GDP. Politically, Reid, does Liz Truss have the support to borrow at that kind of extensive level? What were the other granular details you're expecting or you're looking for out of some of the announcements and proposals this week?
Politically, she could definitely pull it off. I think the question is whether the markets will let her. We've seen a decline in the value of the pound. Gilts have been on the run lately. They're in a very fragile mood. So the question is, what are the confidence of the markets? Coming out of that Bank of England interest rate decision, we're looking for a couple of things. One, they'll probably give a sense for where they see inflation going. Their last estimate was inflation would peak at 13%. The Truss Energy Program probably is going to shave down that level and make it something more like peak inflation around 10%. Jamie Rush may have a view on that. The other really good question is, there will be an exchange of letters between the Chancellor and the Bank of England governor. And in that, the Bank of England governor will explain what he's going to do to get inflation back to target. But this is one of the first opportunities the Chancellor has to regauge the remit for the Bank of England. He could say, go ahead and go for growth. We're not so worried about inflation. Or he could tweak the wording he's had on how the Bank of England deals with inflation that might have a meaningful impact on the way the Bank of England is raising interest rates.
And the other question, of course, for the Bank of England this week is not just what it does with interest rates, not just the inflation forecast, but what it does with quantitative tightening. Jamie, given how much borrowing all of this, this energy bailout, all these tax cuts are going to necessitate, does the Bank of England put the brakes on active gilt sales?
It's a good question. I think that, the Bank of England, quantitative tightening is going to happen at some stage. The additional demand or additional supply of gilts into the market is clearly going to interact with that. What I would say, though, is that it's not the same problem as the ECB has. The ECB wants to embark on the same sort of path, but it could easily trigger a blow up of Italy. So it's kind of I think I don't see the fiscal risks to the UK economy as being, in the same sort of order. So I think the Bank of England is fairly free to do as it pleases, really.
Okay, so a little bit of room there for the ECB, or for the BOE, I should say, to move, at least more than Italy. That's a low bar, though. Reid, to what extent has the UK government, given the composition, at least the runoff for the new leadership of the Conservative Party and the Prime Minister, has left itself behind in terms of the need to catch up on this policy action, particularly when it comes to the energy crisis? How narrow is that window now to act?
Well, you've had a couple of months now where business has been braying for action and consumers have been saying, we're really having a hard time dealing with what we're being given. Of the actual increases in energy prices for consumers, they come through in October. So the government has a very short window to act before October comes. And of course, for the natural gas markets, October is the beginning of winter. It's the beginning of when we actually start drawing down on energy supplies. So, they'll want to have something in place for that. The real concern is that you've got a lot of measures that help consumers deal with prices where they are, and they don't allow that price signal to feed through to consumers to make them say, oh, maybe I should cut back a bit. So they may be burning as much as they always did at a time when we really need to be conserving.
And Jamie, how much is the Bank of England on the Thursday meeting going to be thinking about sterling weakness? You've got a new MPC member in Swati Dhingra, of course, replacing the arch hawk, Michael Saunders. But the other hawk who's stepping into his shoes is Catherine Mann. She's American. I wonder how much she is thinking about the impact of the Fed's jumbo hikes on sterling.
Well, I think the short point really is that the dollar is strong against everything. And if you look at a trade-weighted basket for the pound, it hasn't depreciated by nearly so much. So if you look at everything that people import in the UK, the cost of that hasn't actually changed by nearly so much as American goods. So it's that broader perspective that's needed.
So that's Jamie Rush, our Chief Europe Correspondent, Chief Europe Economist, I should say, and Reid Lamberg, who is Bloomberg's UK Economy and Government Editor. They were speaking earlier to Tom McKenzie and Lizzie Burden. So that's some of the economic issues that the government is facing. But there are other policy areas also screaming for attention from the new government, Ewan.
Yeah, lots and lots of stuff on the economic agenda. Parliament is back in action tomorrow. Liz Truss, of course, been Prime Minister for 2 weeks now. It sort of feels like longer, doesn't it? But it's been It's been an unusual couple of weeks. But yeah, Parliament back in action tomorrow. Not in time for Prime Minister's questions, I should say. Although, of course, Liz Truss is in New York anyway. Would have been interesting to see Therese Coffey make her PMQ's debut, but that will not be taking place tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Parliament is going to be focusing on swearing in MPs with the new king. So that will be the key thing in tomorrow. On Thursday, of course, we have a big announcement on the NHS, which is, Liz Truss has made clear, is one of the government's key priorities. A few things coming on that. We're expecting them to focus on what the Health Secretary said were her ABCD priorities, ambulances, backlog, care, dentists and doctors. It's quite a list, isn't it? Ministers also said to be considering changes to NHS pension rules. Now, you remember this is causing a big problem with doctors retiring early, a lot of them hitting the pensions cap, the lifetime pensions cap, meaning that it doesn't really pay them to stay in the NHS. So a lot of them are quitting early rather than continuing working. So that'll need the agreements of the Treasury, of course, to do that. But that would be useful in keeping more staff in the NHS.
And pay being a key aspect of that as well. When we were talking to John Restall on this programme from the Managers and Partnership Union only recently, he was talking about the pay battles that they're involved with too, because like so many other parts of the British economy, a lot of workers are looking to try and get pay rises to combat rising inflation. So they're balloting on strike action. They're not the only ones. We have strike action looming from other directions as well. The members of the ASLEF union on the railways have confirmed two new strike dates. That'll affect 12 train operating companies next month. They're going to be walking out on the 1st and 5th of October, perhaps unsurprisingly, at around the dates of the Conservative Party conference in Birmingham. And 11 trade unions are seeking a judicial review of plans to allow companies to hire agency staff to replace striking workers. This is another issue that we know is very dear to Liz Truss's heart. She's prepared to intensify the government's clash with the unions by forcing through laws to curb industrial action. This is the idea of guaranteeing a minimum level of service during industrial action and also changing the law for raising the threshold for the number of workers needed to take part in ballots on industrial action. These are proposals that were part of the Conservatives' manifesto in 2019. Liz Truss planning to revive them in her upcoming legislative agenda. Of course, it's not just railways that there are strikes. We're going to be talking coming up shortly in the programme about the strike by dock workers in Liverpool. Criminal barristers across England and Wales beginning indefinite strike action today. They had been walking out in alternative weeks until recently, but that's another strike action that's going to be escalating as well. All of these timed at a time when we're heading into those all important party conferences, Ewan.
Yeah, as well as that Conservative Party conference in a couple of weeks. Labour meets this Sunday, running through to Wednesday the 28th. They're going to be in Liverpool this year. The poor old Lib Dems, of course, though, had their conference cancelled. That was due to take place last weekend. But yes, conference season is going to be interesting this year. And I can't help thinking that, of course, the economic situation, but also the industrial relations situation, as you mentioned, very much on the table.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIEFEL.com.
Stiefel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kruszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stiefel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stiefel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stiefel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stiefel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stiefel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stiefel last year. Come join us and find out why Stiefel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestiefel.com.
Stiefel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Now, Liz Truss is in New York for the UN General Assembly, her first foreign trip as Prime Minister. 2 weeks she's been in the chair now, but it has been an unusual 2 weeks, to say the least. On the plane, she was asked by reporters about the possibility of a trade deal with the United States.
Now, she says there aren't any trade talks on the way and that she wouldn't expect that they would even start in the short to medium term. Now, remember, a trade deal with the US was once the great hope of the UK's post-Brexit export policy, and Liz Truss was Trade Secretary between 2019 and 2021. So let's speak to Bloomberg's trades czar for more on all of this. Brendan Murray joins us now. Brendan, thanks for joining us. Is it really surprising at all that there's been no progress made on talks and that we shouldn't be expecting any talks on a UK-US trade deal?
Well, it isn't really all that surprising. And ever since Brexit happened officially, the U.S. has said that it's not really interested in doing a bilateral trade agreement with the U.K. There's just too much politics at stake for Joe Biden at the moment. He's got a midterm election coming up here in a couple months. And leading into that, there are constituencies that have a lot of that care a lot about trade and agriculture in particular, and he just doesn't want to go to those folks with any requests on what they could give up in terms in a trade deal with the UK. So it's not really all that surprising. The US has basically said for the better part of the past year and a half that they're not really interested in doing this right now, at least. So yeah, this was what Brexit was all about, right? This was the UK could go out into the world and do trade deals with other countries, but it's not going to happen with its biggest transatlantic trade partner.
Yeah, as you say, not really a huge surprise, but I guess the fact that the new Prime Minister, has said at the outset that it ain't coming in the short or the medium term is interesting, isn't it? This was supposed to be the great white hope, wasn't it, of the Brexiteers? It was important, wasn't it, to them?
It definitely was, and you can imagine at a time when Brexit was being campaigned for, that there was a different relationship with the U.S. administration. Donald Trump was in office or coming into office, and there was a mood of a warmer economic relationship. That doesn't seem to be the case right now. Obviously, the two are strong allies in lots of other areas, but a trade deal at the moment isn't on the table, and I would think Liz Truss would be pretty disappointed that the U.S. isn't willing to come to the table.
When we think about trade deals with the U.S., I can't help but think of the TTIP experience with the European Union. Even if there was political will on both sides for a deal, it's not something that's very simple to draw up. It could potentially take a very long time.
Yeah, it definitely could take, these kinds of negotiations can go on for years, and a lot of the stuff would be fairly easy, and they could work those out. The mid-level staff people could work out a lot of these, but there are a handful of other issues around digital commerce, like I said earlier, agriculture, that are just going to be real major sticking points, and it's not in the U.S.'s interest right now to do it, even though it would be for the U.K.
Now, leaving aside the U.S., remind us what other irons the U.K. has in the fire when it comes to trade deals, because there are quite a few, aren't there?
Yeah, they're going around the world, places like Canada and Australia, and trying to secure these free trade agreements. And those aren't huge trading partners of the UK, but politically they can claim that these two sort of Commonwealth partners could that free trade will flow with these countries, but there doesn't seem to be any major countries that are in talks right now. So it's looking like a pretty small amount of UK trade that's in negotiation for these FTAs now.
Of course, at the same time, things have gotten an awful lot more complicated in trade with the European Union. How much of a shift has there been since the legal arrangements changed at the end of 2020?
Well, there've been some important shifts in trade. Obviously, UK companies that are trying to trade into European Union countries now are having to deal with a lot more paperwork and labor shortages, and it's just become much more onerous. Many are setting up their own operations on the continent to try to ease those complexities that Brexit has introduced. I was just in Liverpool last week, talking to a number of companies and civic leaders in the area, where they definitely talk about how Brexit is not delivering on the promise when it comes to trade with Europe.
Talking of Liverpool, because you've written a great piece about the dockers strike that's taking place there. How important is Liverpool to UK trade, to shipping?
well, it's definitely not as important as it was a long time ago, but it's got this unique history of being basically the British Empire's shipping hub over the centuries, and it still maintains a working container port there, the fourth biggest in the UK. There are roughly 600 dock workers walking the picket lines starting, I believe it was late yesterday and today, for 2 weeks. So they've gone on strike to in a dispute over a pay rise. They've been offered a 7% pay increase, but the company isn't going for that. The workers are not going for that. They want something closer to the rate of inflation, which is, as we know, in the UK, over 10%. So there's both sides are digging in their heels. A 2 week strike will mean ships have to divert to other ports. Well, it remains to be seen whether dockers, unionized dockers at other UK ports, will service those ships or not. Felixstowe, the biggest UK container port, will go out and strike in support of their colleagues in Liverpool next week. So that's 50% of the UK's container trade right there, those two ports. So the impact, while these strikes only last a week or two, the impact, we could see ripple effects for weeks to come.
Well, what, you know, we've already had a strike at Felixstowe over pay as well. How does this feed into the bigger picture for UK trade? Are there businesses that are now either holding back or worried about disruption of getting their goods either in or out of the country?
Well, most UK companies or the ones that you know, planned ahead would have fairly healthy inventories right now to withstand, you know, a week or two or a couple of shipments that aren't coming in because of a strike. So the immediate effect is not store shelves are still stocked, and you know, but you could see, the longer these drag out, you could see companies not being able to get the parts that they need on time. So inventories are kind of saving the economy for the moment, sort of buffering against these disruptions, but those won't stay, you know, of a healthy size for very long, if we continue to see these strikes, particularly the Felixstowe and Liverpool strikes, which hit, the size of the impact will be felt in the weeks and months ahead. So at the moment, there are no obvious disruptions to consumers, but businesses are going to get more and more concerned about being able to keep their production lines going and those kinds of things. Felixstowe is big for UK Asia trade. Liverpool's more of a transatlantic North American gateway. So they serve different markets, but together they're pretty important to the UK economy.
Brendan, plenty on the government's agenda. Just sticking with the trade situation, when do you think we might get a decent-sized announcement? The CPTPP are clearly very important, but these multilateral trade agreements are very complex to negotiate, aren't they? Are we going to get anything in the next year or so?
I think it's conceivable that the government will have a lot more on its plate than to make these kinds of arrangements a priority. It's certainly possible, but the priorities in the UK economy right now are such that there's a cost of living crisis going on. There's just some other issues that I think the government will focus its attention and spend its political capital on. I'd put the odds at maybe 50-50. If that's a bit of a,
appreciate you giving us odds on such a complicated issue because that,
yeah,
I mean,
I know. Look, really, really, really going out on a limb with 50-50 coin flip. But yeah, I think Liz Truss, has got a lot of other issues on her plate to make that a priority right now.
She certainly has, but I think that it's really interesting to get your insight into all those various trade stories as it has come up so early in Liz Truss's first trip abroad as she heads to the UN General Assembly with lots of important meetings lined up there as well. Perhaps the hope is there could be some underlying sentiment shift on trade in those relations as well. Bloomberg's trades czar, Brendan Murray, thank you very much for taking us through all of those different stories. And that story on the Liverpool docker strike, really fascinating read and worth a look if you can. You'll find it on Bloomberg.com and of course on the terminal as well.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.